Good morning, Dr. Lisa Murray.
Good morning, Mitch.
Now, we're going to be talking about the history of theatre and a couple of shining examples of who kind of really brought a lot of that sort of stuff to Sydney. Tell us more.
Yeah, well, we had quite a vibrant theatre scene in the late 19th and early 20th century, and it was, of course, one of the main forms of entertainment. No radio.
Mm-hmm.
No iPods.
No iPods.
No film.
No film.
So
pre-film days.
Yeah. So what do you do? You to hear a bit of music, maybe have a sing along.
You maybe either have a laugh.
Maybe have a laugh. So you go to the theatre.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, we had a vibrant scene. And we not only had local acts, but we also had a lot of touring acts coming from London. And one of the guys that came out frequently in the 1870s and 80s was a guy called Harry Rickards.
Harry Rickards, okay.
Now, he was considered a great comic singer, and he performed all these sort of character pieces. He had a Cockney character, which he sang songs about. He also adopted the persona of this sort of swell or man about town figure. And we have some great photos of Rickards in the Dictionary of Sydney. And one of them is this front piece of a song he used to sing called Where's My Nancy?
Where's My Nancy?
And it was actually this sort of man about town swell who'd been jilted at the altar by his fiancée Nancy.
Ooh.
But it's got this amazing kind of, he's in costume, he's got this amazing moustache. It's really quite funny. So if you're into moustaches, you have to check that one out. Anyway, he toured a couple of times quite successfully and then came out and settled in Sydney in 1892, and they leased one of the theatres called the Sydney Opera House, which
not the Opera House?
Not the Opera House.
Okay.
Was actually a 19th century theatre. It was in the heart of the city on King and York Street. And he put on this season of variety called Rickards' New Tivoli Minstrel and Grand Specialty Company of 40 Great Artists.
It's a bit of a mouthful.
Yeah, a bit hard to put on a ticket, isn't it? Anyway, that apparently went gangbusters. So he had a successful season and then leased the Garrick Theatre, which he renamed the Tivoli. And that was on Castlereagh Street between King and Market.
Okay, gotcha.
So right in the centre of the city again. And the Tivoli, Sydney's Tivoli Theatre became, I guess, Rickards' flagship theatre and became like a Sydney icon. And throughout the 1890s and into the first decades of the 20th century, he produced local acts and also brought in international acts. So, for instance, he brought in the great Harry Houdini.
Oh, wow.
And in 1910, he brought him to Sydney, and we've got a copy of a playbill on the Dictionary of Sydney that has a challenge on it. Three Sydney carpenters, apparently, carpenters and joiners, built a box which Houdini had to get out of.
That
was part of the act.
Amazing.
So it's not all just sort of music and comedy. There was sort of magic and thrills as well.
Mm.
Anyway, so he actually established he sort of stepped back from his own performance and started really cultivating vaudeville circuit. And that really developed touring right through regional New South Wales and interstate as well. And it became the Tivoli circuit. It was very popular. And I guess in a way it's like a forerunner of then the first cinema shows that toured to different places. And then now, you know, we have, you know, sort of, we can all see the cinema exactly at the same time.
Yeah.
But, you know, in the 19th and early 20th century, you'd hear about an act and you'd have to wait for it to come on tour and see it.
Anticipation could come to your town, that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So it's a very different type of theatre. So Harry Rickards, really important guy for us. He was apparently really, really well liked. Debonair. Good-natured and generous and very, he earned a lot of money. He was very successful, but he also gave a lot. Every year he hosted a big Christmas dinner for Sydney's poor, for
instance,
on Christmas Day. So a forerunner of something like the Wayside Chapel or something like that. So he was also, he gave back to the community. He died in 1911. Actually, when he was in London, but he was so connected back to Sydney that his remains were brought back. He's actually buried in Waverley Cemetery.
Oh.
So you can go see he's got quite a big monument out there. So he's quite famous in Sydney circles, but I also wanted to just quickly highlight another interesting character, because something we don't think about in terms of theatre is, of course, the scenery and things like that.
Yeah, the old-time props and that sort of business.
Yeah, and scenery was really, painted scenery was really important in late 19th and early 20th century theatre, because it wasn't about symbolism, it was about kind of getting it right, getting it real. And so theatres actually employed artists and painters to actually create these amazing,
backdrops
and canvases for them. And we've got a great article in the Dictionary of Sydney about this guy called Alfred Clint. And he was a cartoonist, but also became this scenic artist in Sydney in the late 19th century. And the author who wrote this piece, Alistair McPherson, actually makes the point that, in fact, the art of the scenic painter was really important. It was this sort of way of getting naturalistic stage action, and it was also a way people actually experienced sort of painting, sort of artistic painting, when they didn't have access to art galleries and things like that. So there was all these sort of other layers sort of happening in the theatre in terms of culture, both high and low culture, which I think is really interesting. And Alfred Clint was highly successful. He worked at the Prince of Wales Theatre, the Royal Victoria, Her Majesty's Theatre, the Sydney Opera House, which we talked about before, the Criterion, and represented not only kind of Sydney scenes, but also sort of historical scenes. So he was apparently when the Criterion opened, he had a history painting of the landing of Captain Cook at Botany Bay, and that was part of the kind of, you know, seen as the kind of representation of this ongoing progress of the Australian colony, you know. It's not something necessarily so PC today, but really interesting in the way that the theatres were very much kind of connected into the culture and seeing themselves very much a part of the development of Sydney and Sydney life. So it's just a couple of the articles. We actually have a whole suite of articles around Sydney theatre. We had a fantastic author called Alistair McPherson, who sadly died a few weeks ago, and we're really grateful to her. She was really a great theatre historian and loved the Dictionary of Sydney and sharing her stories about the theatres in Sydney. So we've got a whole suite of articles. We'll put a link to them and we might explore a few theatres later in the year.
A huge loss to the Dictionary as well. Yeah. And such a fascinating part of Sydney's history as well. So a rich resource to go and check out if you're a very keen thespian and a historian like me anyway. Dr. Lisa Murray, thank you so much.
Thanks, Mitch. We'll